Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
So, without a back on the fan, we'll get back to your calls in just a bit. 877-337-6666. I wanted to have on Basketball Jones one last time while I'm on the overnights here, and I ran into him at the softball game that his father put together, charity softball game on Saturday. And Basketball Jones, of course, Sonny Carton, who is an expert with all things basketball. I want to have some fun. Figure we talk some Knicks a little bit. Before I get into that, though, Sonny, two things that bothered me about you from that game. Number one, I made a tremendous defensive play up the middle, not the one that FAN tweeted out. There was another one, believe it or not. I went up the middle, dove for a ball, rolled over, flipped it to second base. You were running from first to second, and you were out, but they called you safe. Admit that you were out, and they took away a highlight from me. That was a gem.
Listen, I have to say, I respect the effort because you did make the play from the ground, but my foot did get in there. I was safe. I thought the funniest part is when I went to go back and look at the footage, whoever was recording was so excited that they missed the play because they have the beginning and the end of the play. But to see the moment on whether or not I was safe, they missed it.
Did you see me rolling around on the ground making the play? Because I haven't even seen that footage.
Yeah, no, I'll make sure I get it either tonight or tomorrow for you. I'll tag you in it. But you can see you go down. You can see me approaching second. But in some point in there, there's obstruction from the pitcher, and it's a mess. You can't really see it safer out. But I'm telling you, I was safe. And as we know, tie goes to the runner.
All right, and one more thing. Do you remember the play where it was a ground ball to third? You again were running from first to second, and I was going as a second baseman to cover second on the throw. And McMonagle, I think it was, airmailed one. But as I was going up to catch it, you come into second base and you start, like, you pulled like an A-Rod. You were yelling, going, whatever the hell you did. That kind of distracted me a little bit. And I was torn to leave the bag and go get the ball or try to stay on the bag and catch the ball because I knew I needed to do that to get you out. What were you yelling and trying to distract me like A-Rod for? What's wrong with you?
Listen, whenever the charity's on the line and the family name's getting beaten down, we can't have that happen. So I just had to start playing the mental games and start fighting back, and it ended up working.
I was like, what the hell, man? Oh, God. That was fun, though. It was fun to hang out. Unfortunately, we're on different teams, but either way, it was still a great event. All right, let's get to it. How are you feeling about the Knicks here? I'm kind of torn. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm kind of torn. I'm a little disappointed. Bradley Beal is already off the table here. How are you feeling about the Knicks where we sit right now looking ahead at free agency?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that, and I really strongly believe this about the Knicks and the direction they're heading, in that I think they've gotten to where they are currently today based on smart decisions in the past 3-4 years made by this new leadership group. And that's not trading their young talent and picks for other players. And I don't know why all of a sudden, because they've showed that the Knicks, that they can win a few playoff games in a series, that they finally decide it's time to trade for a star. You got to the playoffs last year by playing team ball, and you almost beat the team that went to the finals. So I don't think the answer is to trade away depth to get a star unless you can get a guy perhaps like Bradley Beal that you mentioned. And outside of the 10 guys that I have in my mind, I don't think any of those guys are available today. And when I look back at the rest of the league, every single team that went all in this year with trades ended up losing out early or not going far in the playoffs, except for the Phoenix Suns. You had the Hawks getting DeJounte Murray in the offseason last year. You had the Cavaliers trading for Donovan Mitchell. The Timberwolves getting Gobert, and obviously the Suns with KD. All of those teams were eliminated. So I don't know if necessarily getting a guy through a trade makes sense for the Knicks today, when you can always wait till free agency, like they did with Brunson, like they did with Randle, and not have to give up a major amount of assets to go bring in a player that can help you win championships.
Do you think the idea, Sonny, we're talking about Sonny Carton, Basketball Jones, do you think the idea of needing, because there's this thought process in the NBA, well, you need three stars, you need three stars, you need three stars. Like, for years, it's been that way. Knicks get Randle, the Knicks get Brunson, they already have Randle. Is RJ that guy? No, they need one more superstar. But Miami didn't need a third superstar. I mean, Miami doesn't even have really a big two. I know Adebayo was playing out of his mind, but still, you look at Butler and Adebayo, it's not like they had superstars to get to the finals. Do you think the Knicks need another superstar to be a legitimate contender?
Personally, I do, and I, as much as I'm an optimist about R.J. Barrett and the Knicks, I believe I've watched them long enough to know that the pieces they have in-house right now are not enough. Now, that's not to say that one day Obi won't grow into a player, IQ won't go into a player, Grimes, etc., but I do not think that under that roof today they have what it takes to win a championship. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Paul George podcast that Randle had an appearance on this week, but I think a lot of what he said was very telling about how he's comfortable with himself, that he knows he plays best with other teammates that are all-star caliber. He knows he plays best. He mentioned his short time in New Orleans with Anthony Davis, how much better he felt once Brunson came to the Knicks. He recognizes that he is a guy who's going to work better not having to carry the load. And I think when he showed you that he can return to that form from the 2021 season, give you 25-10, and which, by the way, he didn't shoot well from three this year, so that still can be improved. He's going to play better with someone alongside of him. So I think that is always on the conversation if you can bring in that third star. And I think the Knicks definitely have the right to be in those conversations. I'm just not sure that it's the right time yet to make that decision when, like I said, we won a playoff series and lost to the eventual Eastern Conference representatives.
So would Zion, and I am familiar with what Randle said on that podcast. Not that I would listen to the podcast, but I heard the clip notes and all that stuff. And I fell in love with Randle again after listening to that and thinking to myself, you know what? Forget it. Because you waffle sometimes with Randle. You love him. You hate him. There's this love. He's the guy. He's not going to be the guy. I'm in on Julius Randle. I know what he is as a player. I'm all in on him because he wants to be here. So I think you make him a part of the solution here moving forward. But then does that mean that you trade R.J. Barrett? Are you looking to trade for Zion Williamson? Is that even possible? Before we get to the free agents, which I really want to do, what about potentially trading for Zion? And who would it be if not trading Julius Randle?
I mean, listen, when Zion's on the court, it's hard to argue against what the player is when he actually plays. He's one of the best players I've ever seen coming out of college in terms of stepping on the floor and immediately having an impact at the NBA level. When you look at a guy who played 61 games in his second season after 24 games in his first season, then missed the entire 2021 season with an injury, and then only plays 29 games last year, it's impossible for me to make that trade for Zion as we stand today. I love Zion as a player. I really do. Like I say, when he's on the court, it's great. But I don't understand how anyone in their right mind could trade for Zion with that injury history. To me, it's not a situation like Embiid or Ben Simmons or a Blake Griffin, if you remember back then, where they missed the first season and they come right back. This is now going to be his fifth season, and he's never even played enough games that to meet the now 65-game qualifier that would earn him All-NBA status. So I don't see how they can make that trade. And if they did, as you said, it would have to involve one of Julius Randle and or R.J. Barrett, with the way that this new apron is looking, it's going to play out.
Yeah, I would not do it either. I'm with you. And I know the appeal of Zion, star power, even though I don't love R.J. Barrett as a player, even though I don't love Julius Randle. And again, after the podcast comments, I do want to go all in on him and believe he could be the guy. But, you know, there are obviously inconsistencies to his game sometimes that could drive you nuts. I would not trade either of those two guys for Zion, so I'm with you there. All right, so then the question becomes, Sonny, we're talking about Sonny Carton, Basketball Jones here. the question becomes, how can this team improve? What are we looking at, list of free agents that are realistic for the Knicks to be able to add?
Well, I think the first thing worth mentioning is what they're going to end up doing with the Evan Fournier and Derrick Rose players that they didn't really utilize, as you know, down the stretch of the regular season and especially into the playoffs. But assuming that both of those are not on the roster going forward, they should have a little bit of breathing room under the luxury tax, meaning that they could use the non-taxpayer exception, which they get $12 million if they do fall under that first tax level. So I could see them looking for a few players that could fit that. I mean, obviously, Josh Hart is coming back. He has a player option, which he's most likely going to opt out of. But that's a different scenario because they have his bird rights, which essentially just means that they can keep him and offer him any deal that doesn't go against the cap. So that's going to be interesting if they're going to bring Hart back, which I assume they will because it seemed like Thibodeau really liked him going forward. But I think, like I said, it's all going to depend on how they use that Derrick Rose contract. Because if they pick up the team option, then that contract can then become an expiring because it's a one-year deal, and it could be used as filler in a trade. So if they're looking to trade out Fournier and Rose, that could be a potential angle to improve the roster by just getting one roster spot. Or you could go out and try to get a guy like Seth Curry, who could be looking to have a one- or two-year type prove-it deal that could also fall into that taxpayer level. I think a few of those options, like DiVincenzo, that have been floating around too. But to me, I see this as another year where they're not going to try to do too much to change the core of this team. I really don't see it. I see them trying to make small additions that, like you said, just marginally improve the roster.
Can they get Porzingis? Because I kind of got excited about that, thinking he's a good fit, a big who could stretch the floor, shoot, obviously. You know, plus there's, you know, he was a Knick, drafted by the Knicks. Any way Porzingis could get with the Knicks or no?
I mean, theoretically, he could come back to the Knicks. There are ways that it could happen, but I would be shocked if they tried to do a reunion. I know people have been floating it around the way New York is. We hate someone so much when he's wearing our colors if he's not playing well, but as soon as he goes to another team, it's fine if he has one good game every seven nights because he's no longer in New York. I do not see him going for Porzingis, mostly because of how much they'd have to move to make it happen. But theoretically, once again, including one of the main guys who he wouldn't be willing to give up, you could make a Porzingis trade work, but I don't see that happening.
To me, he just fits. You're exactly right. When they're here, it's like, this guy's not good enough. And then when they're not here, it's like, hey, remember him? We could really use him. He just fits because he's a big who could stretch the floor. I mean, look, I like Mitchell Robinson for what he is, but he's got zero offensive game. And the Knicks as a whole, even Josh Hart, like I like Josh Hart too, he can't shoot. He's not a good enough scorer. So I like the option of Seth Curry if it's realistic because he's a guy who could shoot. But is that what we're looking at? I mean, that's it. Evan Fournier was supposed to be that guy. He wasn't. I don't know if they could just run it back. I'm okay with the core of this team remaining intact. They need to add some shooting.
I agree. And it's going to be up to the Knicks what direction they want to go. And I think the biggest thing to me when I look at this team is Obi Toppin. And this is something I've heard you talk about, I've heard many people talk about, but when you draft Obi Toppin, the kid deserves to play 30 minutes a game at this point. That's just what it is. He's shown now down the stretch of games when he was able to start, he can get you 30 points a game in the league. Not everyone can do that. He deserves to play, and if he's not playing, and if IQ's not playing the amount of minutes that they deserve to be playing, then it's time to trade them for the star. And that's something I've been very firm on, that you can't play at both sides. If you're going to trust the kids and you're going to try to build from in-house and selecting your own draft pick, you have to let them play. And if not, I'm 100% with you, Sal. You can't just add a guy like Seth Curry. You have to put two guys together or three guys together that, you know what, it's going to suck to give up, especially if they end up having great 10-year NBA careers. But if that's what it takes to get a guy who's going to help you win and help you move out of the second round, which we got us so excited for winning one playoff series. And like you said, we need to do something more than just adding a Seth Curry. It's just, to me, whether or not right now is the right time to go all in on the chips, when who knows, a year or two from now, there could be a better option on the table. The last thing I want is to be a team like the Hawks, who give up four first-round picks for DeJounte Murray, and then 2 days later, Kevin Durant requests a trade. That's the last thing I want to happen to the Knicks.
Right, so you're basically saying that you're not opposed to making a trade like that, which, by the way, you know, you'd have to think about it, because that's how teams become good teams, by drafting and developing, where maybe Grimes does become more of an impact player. IQ, same thing, where, you know, you could argue should have been sixth man of the year last year. I know he's terrible in the postseason, but he's an impact player. Obi Toppin has the potential to be an impact player, but if you don't believe in him, or you want to go get that star right now, then you're going to have to move him. That star's not there, is what you're saying, right? There is no, hey, go get this guy.
I agree, yeah. I mean, obviously Zion could fit under that with what's going on in New Orleans. No need to elaborate any further, but he could be looking out. But like I said, I don't think he has the durability to, at this point, consider him a franchise-type target that you would bring in through trade. If this was through a free agency, I'd feel completely different because, like I said, you wouldn't have to be giving up assets to go bring him in. But of all players in the league, I would fear most about bringing a guy like Zion, who has never shown me he can stay on the court, to bring it in as a trade.
All right, Basketball Jones. Hey, look, I'd be more into the draft, but the Knicks don't have a pick. I mean, I get it. It doesn't really, even if they did have a first-round pick, you know, they're still beyond that to where they need more. Obviously, it wouldn't be a top pick this year. You into the NBA draft?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not the biggest college scouter. So outside of the top 15, 20 guys, I probably haven't seen much more than a few highlight tapes and my little film research on each guy. But I'd like to see where they fall, obviously, as it relates to the NBA, because that's my main thing.
Victor Wembanyama, however you say his name, he's going to be a no doubt about it stud, or you have some reservations?
Yeah, I think he'll be incredible. The one thing that I'd say to anyone listening and to anyone who maybe doesn't know this about Victor, but I'd be very surprised if he came into the NBA playing the center position. And I know that might sound crazy to everyone because you think this guy's 9 feet tall, but he's kind of made it clear through interviews, and if you follow his career out Europe, he doesn't really play center. He kind of plays more of that perimeter stretch four role. And I think in today's NBA, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It might not be a bad thing to have him have to be matched up against these guys that are physically at this point much bigger than him. And I think people are going to be surprised when he spends a lot of his time out on the perimeter, catching the ball in motion on pick and rolls, that type of stuff, opposed to being in the paint. So I think he'll succeed right away. And I think the expectations on him are way too crazy, considering that he's just a kid, and it's unfair to say that if he doesn't match Kevin Durant or Hakeem Olajuwon, then his career is a failure. But I do think he'll succeed right away.
You know, I'm already surprised by that because I know nothing about him other than he's tall and everybody's like, oh, he's going to be a stud. You're telling me this guy's an outside shooter? He's that tall and he's not even playing with his back to the rim? Come on now. Down in the post, what are we doing here?
He has the ability to, and let me be clear, he did not shoot the best percentages overseas from the perimeter. But based off the game, based on the style of play, I do see him being used in a more of a hybrid type role instead of being back to the basket.
I know I have to evolve. To me, that's ass backwards. You got a big man, get him close to the basket. Don't put him away from the. I get it. You need stretch bigs now, guys that could shoot and stretch the floor. Knicks certainly could use one. But my goodness, if you're tall, you would think you play down by the rim. Feed the beast in the post like they used to do with the big fella, Patrick Ewing or Olajuwon, the guy that you mentioned. They could shoot a little bit, but it wasn't like they're playing on the perimeter. My goodness.
Yeah,
all right, Basketball Jones. Yeah, good.
I know. I was just going to say two things. I think the first thing, the main thing with Victor is that he's so tall that, like, he doesn't really have to be, like, he can shoot over anyone wherever he is. Hmm. So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is, around the rim, he's dominant. Like, I don't know if you saw the viral clip that went around where he missed a 3-point shot and windmill dunked his own rebound. Like, he can do things you've never seen before. So I definitely think it will stretch the imagination of what the Spurs will be able to do with him. But thank you so much for having me on, as always.
Yeah, and he'll be entertaining to watch at the very least. Hey, no problem. My pleasure, Basketball Jones. Just make sure next time we play a softball game, stop with the noises running around the bases, all right, to distract me. And stop cheating with the umpires, too, getting them to get the calls going your way.
Let's just make sure we're on the same team next time.
Yeah, hey, you know what? That's a deal. Sign me up for that one. He is Sonny Carton, Basketball Jones, of course, basketball expert. Fun to get some insight from him. And, you know, think about what the Knicks could do here in free agency. Unfortunately, may not be that big, sexy move out there. Zion seems to be the name that keeps coming up. I wouldn't want him. I'm not making a deal for Zion. I'm with Sonny on that one, where I just don't think it's worth the risk. The guy can't play. He's out of shape. He's lazy. Think about it. You're going to trade Julius Randle for Zion Williamson? Julius Randle, who's the complete opposite of Zion, where he works his rear end off, gets himself on the court, is... Look, he had a down year, you know, not this past season, but 2 years ago, sure. But he was an all-star two out of the last 3 years. He's been basically consistent each of those years. So, I mean, I there's no way you could justify making that trade for Zion Williamson. As tempting or as sexy as that may be, it's not the right move for the Knicks.
Speak your mind at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Going to 5 a.m. The warm-up show with Al and Jerry. I got to be honest with you. It has been, you know, two words that I was using all day yesterday that I've used before in life, but they've never meant more to me than yesterday would be overwhelming and surreal. Like a lot of times, like, oh, yeah, it was overwhelming. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. I was actually overwhelmed yesterday with all the people reaching out and, you know, texting congratulations or emailing or tweeting. It was overwhelming. It really is touching, honestly. And some people that I've never talked to before ever or never texted with before. Couple of good ones in there. Never texted, hey, Sal, blah, blah, blah. What? How'd you get my number? Oh, my God, I love you. So it was overwhelming and surreal, where it's like, oh, yeah, that was surreal. And, obviously I think people use it properly, but I just still can't even fathom, even as I say it, that this is actually happening, you know, me moving from the overnights to the midday show. It was just a surreal day. It's something you dream about for a very long time. It's not just the 20 years that I've been in the business for, but going back to when I was a listener or caller, dating back to 1995 or so, around there. So it's surreal to even think that this is going to happen. And until it actually does in a few weeks, I guess it won't feel real. And even then, who knows? But anyway, I can't be more thankful for all the positive words and messages and everything from everybody. It's been overwhelming and surreal. Jack is calling from the Upper West Side. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Sal. I first want to say that it's great to hear Sonny, you know, really developing a mature voice as a commentator. I remember the first time he was zinging his dad and keeping his dad honest. You know, barely fitting in the chair, and it's he's doing a good job. So I'm glad to hear him on your show.
Yeah, he's such a good kid too. Him and I have developed, I don't even remember how it started, honestly, but we've developed a little bit of a friendship here, and I like having him on the air. I think he's good, and he's got great info. So it's fun to have him on every once in a while. I think you're right. I think he has grown on the air.
Yeah, he's a natural talent, so good for him. But you know, I too am overwhelmed listening to the tributes. I mean, Mickey almost broke my heart, and Chris and Nicole and Val. I just felt like I didn't know how to follow all that. But I remembered one of the first times I called you, and it was because you used to tell these stories about your childhood and going, you know, being not wanting to go to pool parties and teachers who didn't treat you right. And I remember calling you to say how your openness and honesty about overcoming those experiences was, I really had to believe it was really empowering for your audience. And that's what I'm hearing in these calls, is that you have, all these people feel a personal relationship with you, and that you've empowered them to get through tough times in their life and, you know, work towards other things, and our very special friend who's been working towards some things. You know, I'm so pleased for you and your family, and I'm just, you know, I think I told you this, and I'm 63, so I could say this. I told you this a long time ago. I'm proud of you for the person you've become, how you, quote unquote, you know, want to evolve, and I feel as though you deserve a big, hey, look at me now moment. Congratulations, Sal.
Well, thank you. I got to be honest with you, Jack. There was a time in my life where I wanted the, hey, look at me now. And to certain
people... You're
beyond
people, it now.
You know, but to certain people, maybe I still feel, you know, maybe ex-girlfriends or people that doubted me along the way, and there have been a lot of them, it's the, hey, look at me now. But honestly, I don't want anybody to look at me now. I just want to do what I love to do, and that's doing these talk shows and having fun doing it. I don't want the attention. I don't care about it. I'm not trying to get attention. I'm not trying to prove anything anymore. You know, you're always trying to prove yourself in a certain extent, but I've proven to my toughest critic that I can do this. And that's myself. And I think that you think for a while you can do it. I always thought I could do it. And then you start to do it and it's like, oh my God, I didn't realize it was this difficult. And you get to some point where you start to have some success and then you know you could do it. And once I won myself over, that to me was the, nobody's going to be a harsher critic of me than me. And once I started to really have true confidence, nothing else matters. So I appreciate that, but I don't need the look at me now moment. I'm proud.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I'm very, very proud of the accomplishment, but I'm just having fun doing something that I love to do that I've always felt like I belonged doing.
Yeah, there's nothing better than that. It's a tremendous point you make, and I think that's a sign of true success. And I think you said it well. And I do have a quick med point, very brief, but sure. I think you said it well when you said that every show I do is prime time. And I think that is a road to success, is treating every moment that you have as an opportunity to deliver and do your best. And you've done that. And so keep doing it. Very, 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 very short med point. You know, obviously I agree with all the things you've been saying all week. And yet for us diehards, we have no choice but to hang on the thread. And I just feel that, you know, at some point, somebody has to surprise us and do what we don't expect from them. And, you know, to me, tomorrow it's Tyler McGill. We don't expect him to outpitch Christian Javier and pick the team up so they can win a series and do something that has any significance. But you cannot have a successful season without some people stepping up and doing what you don't expect. There are other players who you do expect things from, but Tyler's got to be the guy tomorrow. And I'm going to be watching, so I got no choice. But good luck, Sal, and I'm glad I got a chance to share the moment.
Thank you, Jack. And I appreciate checking in. You've always been a loyal listener and caller, so great to hear from you. I appreciate that. Look, I don't trust Tyler McGill. I don't trust anybody in the Mets. The biggest problem the Mets are going to have, and I'm telling you this, as you know, we love to talk baseball on this show more than anything else. I will ride the baseball as far as we can. Last year, we did it even into the football season. Baseball really, the baseball talk goes all year round in this town with the Mets and the Yankees. It's what drives the sports talk on the station. However, the Mets are getting to a point where they're becoming irrelevant. And that is the worst thing that you can possibly be. They may get upset that we are overly critical sometimes or ripping the team, whatever. You think that's bad? Wait till we stop talking about you. And that's not too far off. Especially once the trade deadline comes and goes and they're out of the wild card race. They either sold off some pieces or added insignificant pieces or didn't do anything. That's it. We're going to focus on the Yankees. We'll be focused on Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones. Looking forward to all that. Because we can't keep saying the same damn thing about the same crappy team over and over again. It can't do it. There's no point. We already know what's going to happen. I told you this after the Scherzer win. You know, the big Scherzer performance on Monday night, 11-1, they need to make that stick. They didn't, and here we are again. I'm not buying in. The idea that the Mets once this year have won consecutive games with Scherzer and Verlander starting is a total failure. It's a total failure. They're done. Don is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Don?
Hey, Sal. Congratulations.
Thank you, Don. Thank you.
Sal, you have changed a lot of people's lives. You've changed my life. I now stay up until 5 o'clock in the morning. So now, now I'll have to wake up. No. It's because you're entertaining. You talk sports. The other day you talked about, I think Fleek said he would leave his kid at the stadium if he started rooting for the other team. And it was just, that's comedy. That's not sports. That's comedy. And I'm so happy that you're getting to have an opportunity that you've always wanted, that you not only have always wanted, but that you worked hard for and that you worked your butt off for. You sat in your house in the what was the name of that stadium or the studio down in the basement? The insurance, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. You were
Oh yeah, right.
At,
yeah, right. I forgot about
the,
that. Reading
you worked
those
in the Rocket Right.
because I was doing the shows for CBS Sports Radio during the pandemic. You're right. My goodness, the Rocket Mortgage Loan Studios, every hour.
Everybody was in the Rocket Mortgage. That was a big studio, man. But the things that you have done, and now you'll change my life again, where I'll now wake up a little bit earlier to read the newspaper so that I can have coffee with you at 10 o'clock. I find you to be very, 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 very interesting, and your outbursts are not P. Franklin-esque, but your the way that you deal with people who just don't deserve time seems to me to be right.
Thank you, Don.
The other thing that I will tell you again that you have brought a humanity, just like others at this time have, but to me more so, with the Stewarts of the world and with the Hectors, and I will apologize when I don't put everybody's name down, but the only thing that I find wrong with this is starting at 7 o'clock at night and ending at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be all Yankees all the time.
No. They're Yankee
Keith,
fans.
You listen to Keith. Long enough.
I get what you're saying. But here's the thing: you got to give C-Mac a chance. Keith is still doing his thing. See, I trust that they will be. I mean, I hope that they will both be unbiased in their coverage of both teams. Like, to me, it was never about being a fan of a team. It was always about telling it how it is about those teams. So that, to me, is the right way to do it. And, I believe that those guys will do that, even though where their fandom is, just like me. I don't want people to be like, oh, well, he's a Met guy. He can't talk Yankees. Bull crap. I will talk Yankees with the biggest of the Yankee fans. I don't care who they are, how long they've been a Yankee fan. I will go toe-to-toe with any Yankee fan talking about their, quote-unquote, their team, because I'm a talk show host, and that's what I do.
There are a couple of things that I'd also like to keep in mind. First off, that Fleeg is on 3 o'clock on Sunday morning, so that he can always bring everything back into balance. And the other thing is, are you going to bring the woman in on Thursdays to have fun with on football season?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen. And Don, thank you for the call and for the kind words.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you.
And thank you for sticking with me. I really want you to, I hope all you guys can change your hours. And thank you, Don, for listening to the midday. Or if you can't change your hours, just check it out on the Free Odyssey app whenever you can. I'm not sure about that. I don't know that that's going to be the case anymore. You're talking about Taylor Mathis, who we had on last year, hottest picks in the game during the football season. So I've been in touch with Taylor. She has changed jobs a little bit, so I don't think that that's going to be a possibility to get her on, but she's doing fine on her own. But, I mean, look, it's been fun trying to create something here with this slate of overnight real estate, and I'm glad that you found it, Don, entertaining, because that's the goal. Want to have fun and entertain. It's sports talk. It shouldn't be that serious. Although we take our team seriously, of course, and get upset when they do bad things, which seems to be quite often, it's sports talk. John is calling from Port Jeff Station. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to thank. I was going to touch on the Yankees first. But I want to say thank you for the last couple of months that I've switched to the overnight as far as work. Made it enjoyable. The sports talk is unreal with you. Hopefully, during the day, I can catch some of your shows. I work the overnight constantly, so it'll be rough.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You give the people a chance to talk. You don't just listen and then say, okay, thanks for the call, and just hang up. You give them that security of being able to say what they want, and you reacting to it, and they getting back to them in a phone call in one sense. And I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Going through some rough things and being able to over the overnight after changing my hours, going to miss it. You're really a really good guy, and hopefully the guys who take over for you, can step up to the plate and do the same thing, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. And you know, C-Mac will do a fine job. Give him a chance and give him a listen, and he'll do fine.
Definitely. On that note, getting to the Yankees, we had talked a little while ago on another night about Donaldson. Once again, you see his true colors. What they believe in him, I really couldn't tell you. But I think Cashman bought him, as we had talked about, he thinks he's still a Bronx bomber, and he's not. He's not spraying the ball, and he's looking to throw the ball. And I think he's trying to also make up now for people who are not in the lineup doing their job, and he's getting beat. The whole system with the Yankees right now is we have so many people that are not playing up to their game with Judge out. And even when Judge comes in, that guy can only produce so many runs. You've got to have the starting pitching. And, you know, they do have a good ERA coming out of the bullpen. But, you know, if they're going to have to score 7-8 runs when he's in the game to win 7-3 and 7-4, and their starting pitcher isn't getting done except for tonight, I mean, but that's going to be, you know, occasionally happen here or there. It's going to be a rough season, very rough season. How do you feel on that?
Well, I think it's more, John, and thank you for the call, and I do appreciate the kind words. The Yankees, to me, could they use another starter? Sure. Are they going to get Rodon back? You hope, as he made a rehab start. We talked about this earlier. He made a rehab start, the first of, I think, three or four. I forget the exact amount that they want him down there. But he made a rehab start, looked pretty good in doing so. So maybe it will be a reality to get Rodon back at some point soon, and that could be that starting pitcher that you want to add. Obviously, they need to get Nestor Cortes back as well. They could use another starter. But their biggest issue, to me, is that lineup. That's the problem. And it's not just that they're missing something. I mean, obviously they're missing Aaron Judge now, but I'm talking about in general. Like, oh yeah, just go get a left fielder and everything will be fine. That's not necessarily the case. It's the guys that they have here aren't getting the job done. Brian Cashman's made some brilliant moves over the years. Brilliant moves. Every general manager's got some good. Every general manager's got some bad. Brian Cashman has whiffed badly on what he's tried to do at shortstop the last couple of seasons and also with Josh Donaldson. That was a terrible trade. We all said it at the time. For some reason, they love Josh Donaldson. They thought they were going to get the Blue Jays version of Josh Donaldson, the A's version of Josh Donaldson. They didn't. They've gotten the worst version of Josh Donaldson possible. The youngsters have not developed. Oswaldo Cabrera was supposed to be an impactful player. Versatile guy, put him in the outfield, put him in the infield, but he's supposed to bring some energy and provide some offense. He has not done that. Energy, yes. Offense, no. Anthony Volpe. All right, here you go. Hand the shortstop over to him. Think about how Cashman has messed up with shortstop. Moving Gleyber Torres to short. Bad mistake. If I said it at the time, he should have known better. I said it at the time, this is a bad mistake. They did it, failed miserably. Trade for IKF. Immediately, you could see early on, IKF was not a shortstop, or not a good shortstop. I'm not saying he's not a decent role player. They made him their starting shortstop when they had some of the top-tier options in the sport available via free agency. The Yankees, instead of getting a top free agent shortstop after they screwed up with Gleyber Torres, they traded for IKF. Horrific fail number two. And this year, they went with Anthony Volpe, and they bet on him. And so far, hasn't paid off. Maybe Peraza's finally the answer at some point, but those are big issues. Now, it's not as bad as Josh Donaldson has been, which is another big issue, because you know, LeMahieu has struggled. That one I can't blame Cashman on, because he made the great signing of LeMahieu, you know, to initially bring him in. Nobody blamed him on the extension, but LeMahieu's just fallen off a cliff. That's a problem. It's the players that they have here that aren't getting the job done. That's the issue. It's not just without Aaron Judge. It's that Judge. See, here's the difference. Here's what having Judge in the lineup does. It's not just his production that makes the Yankees look better. Aaron Judge in the lineup masks the Yankees' weaknesses. He did it a year ago. He covers up deficiencies on the team. When he's out, those deficiencies are exposed. Like the inconsistencies of Rizzo, Stanton, the awfulness of Donaldson. It gets exposed without Judge. it still happens when he's there, but people don't pay attention to it because Judge hits a couple home runs and a few doubles and drives in five runs and the Yankees win. And he's going on his chase to hit 60 home runs. But when he's out, you see it front and center.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Now we're kind of back on the fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Going to 5 a.m. the warm-up show with Al and Jerry. Taking your calls until then. Coming off a Yankees win, Gerrit Cole was dominant once again. He has been as consistent, as dominant, as durable as they come. 7 1/3 innings, allowing just the one earned run. 8 strikeouts for Cole. Handed over to Clay Holmes, who closed it out for the Yankees. And, you know, they get the two-run homer from Billy McKinney, of all people. Yankee legend, Billy McKinney. Anthony Rizzo had a few hits. Yanks get a win and their 4-game losing streak. The Mets, they cannot win consecutive starts yet again from Verlander and Scherzer. This time it's Verlander who doesn't get the job done. And he made one bad mistake. Now, they're going up against Framber Valdez. No shame in losing to him. I mean, the guy's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. The Astros, obviously, a great team. But, you know, the Mets can't afford to lose games, period. I don't care who they're playing or what pitcher they're facing. Go get a win. Figure it out. And when you have the highest payroll in baseball, it shouldn't be, oh, well, we played a better team tonight. Oh, we faced a better pitcher tonight. There's no excuses. Go out there and play. You had Justin Verlander on the mound. You're paying $43 million a year to. Go get the job done. And he didn't. He grooves a 3-0 fastball to Bregman, who, you know, crushed the two-run homer, and that was it, basically. Once you get that home run, 3-0, game over. Christopher is calling from Jackson Heights. What's up, Christopher?
Not much. It's actually getting to that point in which the Mets are no longer like something I discuss with, you know, my close people and stuff like that. It's already getting to that point. Even like with Max, what happened the other night, in which he pitched outstanding. But I was just like, yeah, watch the next game. It's just going to be a complete disaster kind of thing. And I'm at that point. And I don't want to be. And it's early in the season. But, you know, that's just how me as a fan of the Mets, that's just how I'm at that point already, you know?
Yeah, Well, yeah, I do know, Christopher, because what else are you going to say? I mean, what are you going to say? It's the same thing. I'm on every night after these games. It is the same thing. Oh, wow, there's one win. They won a game. Maybe they could win a game tomorrow and make it two in a row. Most likely not, but let's see. And then they lose. Win one, lose two. Win one, lose two. It's a pattern. They don't win series anymore. They for us to care about them and get excited again, the Mets have to reel off 8 of 10. And they're not going to do it. They're not capable of it.
Like, it would be great. Like, even, you know, bringing it back to last season in which they were winning series after series after series. Yeah, it's cool. Like, you know, if you get a winning streak going and stuff like that. But if you were to win the series and stuff, you know, that's great because that means it's, what, 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 kind of thing. You're showing progress, but this is like 1 step forward and 2 steps back. And it's great. One of the reasons sometimes I watch the Mets now is because of the catcher with Alvarez. You know, I see him progressing. I see where in the beginning of the season he was just swinging at everything, and now it's slowly coming to like he's deciding when he's gonna swing at a good pitch and a bad pitch. So that's what it's come down to. Like I'm focusing now on the rookie. That's what it comes down to.
All right, exactly. You're excited to see the rookie develop, and thank you for the call, Christopher. You're excited to see the rookie develop. That's it. Now, I'm not saying I'm not watching yet. You know, they still have some, you know, you want to watch the stars, whether it's Alonso, Lindor, Verlander, Scherzer, even as bad as they've been, there's still intrigue there to see if they could ever get it turned around. But why would you believe, and I've been saying this for, you know, months, why would we believe at this point, based on everything that we've seen from this team, that even if they did go on a run and sneak into that third wild card, that they would do anything with it? You know, there are still people that believe, oh, because of Scherzer and Verlander, you know what could happen in the postseason? Anything could happen. No. I know what could happen in the postseason. They're not good, so they're going to get beat. And in reality, they're not going to make the postseason. I still do believe, though, I was talking about this in the SNY newsroom last night. I still do believe, and this is just my deep down gut feeling, hard to imagine right now, I still do believe they have a run in them. I don't know if it's any time soon, but I still believe they have a run in them. Sometimes all it takes is one run to get back in the thick of things. That's it. 8 of 10. And then all of a sudden, you're right there. You're always one good stretch away. I think they have one in them. Will it be enough? I don't know. Stuart is calling from Brooklyn. Stuart, where have you been? You had me worried about you.
You disappeared.
Wait, what happened? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, Sal.
Like, well, with you, I never know. I don't know if that rage took over and you got yourself in trouble.
Fleeks will tell you.
Okay. Right? But all's good.
Yeah, all's good. Sal,
okay.
Let me say something to you.
You don't want to share it with us on the air?
No.
Okay. Why, you don't want to get me in trouble? Or
let Mike talk to you.
Okay.
I spoke with Mike.
I know, but then we're leaving. You're leaving us in the dark as an audience. Is it something
Sal,
bad that you don't want?
If I say something, it's not going to be fun. It's not funny. It's something that was said on the radio last Tuesday by a certain person that ticked me off.
Okay.
That was said about me.
Okay. Right? I did not know that.
Said about me, and I took it in a bad manner.
But I didn't say it, right?
No, it was had nothing to do with what you said. It was something that was said by somebody else.
Okay. All right. I'll ask Fleece to clean it up. All right.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you called back.
No, Sal. Let's say this much. Of course, I'm going to listen to you midday, and I'll try to get in. But middays, it's hard to get in.
I know. It's a different show.
Yeah. It's a different show, and you're going to be with Brandon.
Right. So there's
right?
two
people. And then Tiki's going to Craig's spot.
Correct, yes.
And, I'm going to miss Craig at 4 to 6. Oh, God.
So who are you going to miss more? Well, Craig, he's not going to be here. You can watch him on Fox, obviously, and get
him
that way.
Yeah, I'll watch him on Fox, but, you know, of course, I listen on Saturday mornings because he does a very good show before, very good course.
Right.
Oh, am I going to miss more?
Well.
Of course we're going to miss you on the overnight. Are you kidding me? And as far as Nicole, you're not going to stay away from baseball. Stop it. Stop pretending you're going to stay away from baseball. You're a big Met fan. What, are you serious? You can't stay away from the Mets. Are you guys? She might be able to try.
Here's what happened here. I knew once I saw Nicole on the line, I knew that you would come out of your hibernation and call. So whatever angered you on Tuesday didn't anger you enough to where you're going to pass up the opportunity to call a show that Nicole called. I knew you would call in. You're not calling for me. You're calling because of Nicole.
No, I was calling because I knew you were leaving.
Okay.
And Nicole, of course. What do you think? I'm not going to call when Nicole's there.
No, of course I know you. I know you like a book. I know you better than you know you.
Listen to me. When Fleegs explains it to you, then you'll get my point.
Are you happy with the new overnight host, Chris McMonagle?
See, Mac?
Yes.
He kisses Cashman's butt.
I was just trying to. What I was trying to do is see if that was him who said something. I was testing.
You want to hear the name that said something, Jerry?
Yes, Jerry Recco.
Last Tuesday.
I can't wait to hear this. All right,
let's put it this way. He said something about me. My name was mentioned, and I heard him. And it was when you were on the morning show.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I think I remember that now. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was when everybody else rants, Omar, this, that, who, Hector, whoever, nobody says something. But when my name gets mentioned, don't.
Stuart, I got to tell you something, and I'll have a talk with Jerry. I'm working with him in a couple of weeks on the morning show. I got to tell you something. When I go, when I am, you know, the other day I was out at the softball game and a lot of people were there, you know, they listened to the show. A lot of people mention you. They say, oh, Sal, I love your calls with Stuart. He's crazy and funny and all that stuff. You know, you're very popular.
Can I say something to you? Don't do that, Jerry. Jerry, 15 years ago, Mike refreshed my memory. I thought somebody, I was trying to get on with Boomer and Carton, talk to Boomer and Carton, and somebody got on the phone with me and was very rude and not very pleasant. And they hung up on me.
Who could that
have
been?
And I thought it was Jerry, but Mike cleared it up and said it was Al.
Yeah, I wonder who that could be. It probably was Al.
And I thought it was Jerry. So when he said something about me last week,
you thought it was Jerry because Jerry can be rude sometimes. I know what you're saying.
Well, guess what? You don't be rude on the radio. You don't be rude. Let me ask you, have I ever been rude to anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there have been some people, Stuart, that you've probably been rude with along the way, no?
Not on the radio. When it comes to talking on the radio, I mind my P's and Q's.
You think you've been rude to your neighbors at all? You know, your upstairs
neighbors?
Oh,
hell yeah. You know why? I have very good reason. Last Tuesday, I got woken up 11:45 in the morning on a Tuesday night, and on Wednesday I go to the gym at 2:45, and I couldn't get back to sleep for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So I didn't get much sleep.
Stuart, make sure you get back to us. I got tomorrow night, and thank you for the call. You got to get to an update here. You get back to us. I'm glad to hear from you. Glad to hear everything's okay. I'll straighten it out with Jerry and see what exactly was said that upset you. But anyway, get back to us. We're back on tomorrow on the overnight and then the three shows next week before we move to the daytime. So I'll make sure I want to hear from you, Stuart, all right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.